Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try Assemble and Bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or personal loans, help is here. More and more Americans turn to credit cards to get by. National Debt Relief is helping qualified clients reduce what they owe. For many, continuing to struggle making minimum monthly payments could take years to pay off. National Debt Relief has already helped over 550,000 Americans reduce their debt by negotiating directly with their creditors. When you call, you'll be amazed at how much you can save and how quickly you can become debt-free. If you want off the debt treadmill, visit nationaldebtrelief.com today. You don't need to declare bankruptcy, and you may qualify for significant debt relief. To find out what savings you may qualify for, simply visit nationaldebtrelief.com. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/tiktokads, and grow your business fast.
D2 Sacramento, ESPN 1320, Sacramento's sports leader. Always live on the Odyssey app. Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number two. That's Jim Sam. I'm Kyle Madsen. Joe Brazil behind the glass. We're hanging out with you until noon. Then we'll hand it off to D'Lo and KC. Jiffy Lube sponsors the program. We thank them so much, and we thank you for listening either on 1320 AM or 98.5 FM HD2. Maybe you're listening on the free Odyssey app, which we also appreciate. Download the free Odyssey app and favorite ESPN 1320. Then you can open up the app. It's right there. You click it, and you can listen to us live anywhere around the world. Also, tons of podcasts and other content on the free Odyssey app. Everybody on YouTube and Twitch, good morning. Hello, youtube.com/ESPN1320 and twitch.tv/ESPN1320. Please subscribe to the channel on YouTube if you are not. We would appreciate the heck out of that. And, of course, the James Hammond Kyle Madsen Show. It's the podcast feed. Download and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. I think that covers all the housekeeping. Yep. I think I nailed it.
I think you did.
The Elk Grove Kia Talk Line, 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320. We were talking about the Tyus Jones rumor from Hoops Hype, and we will get to that. But Mitch in New Jersey doesn't want Tyus Jones. He wants somebody else. Mitch, what's up?
How's it going, Kyle? James? Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, thanks for calling.
Hello, Mitch.
Pleasure. It's been a while. I know.
Yeah. You sound really good today. You sound clear. You're not outside, like, riding a bike or something. You sound good.
Right. I actually stepped out of the house. It seemed like I was having a hard time with Joe before because I wanted to give my wife some privacy. You know, she's heard me enough for 32 years. So
32 years. That's awesome, Mitch. Congrats.
When I step away, my Wi-Fi goes away. We're like spinning our legs. We're riding a treadmill here. When Trae Young doesn't play any D, he's short. Mm-hmm. Tyus Jones, he's been in the league, 8 years? He had a better career at Duke. Yeah, you know, he's one and done, and he's a good backup. We had a point guards, and you see where they're playing, and Amari Fox will be in the playoffs next year, and he'll be looking good. Halliburton is becoming a star. And if I got to make a prediction, I like the Thunder in six. Lou Dort, he plays great defense. All these guys that you see in these finals, they're all young and over 6'2", 6'5", and up,
yep.
I think. I could be wrong. Thanks a lot.
No, you're right. Thanks, bud. Apparently, he told Joe he wanted Chris Paul instead of Tyus Jones.
Yeah,
it was when his phone cut out. I'm out on that idea.
I got to the point there. Shout out Mitch, though.
Yeah, again, I love the idea of going out and getting Chris Paul. If you have a player that you're developing and you want Chris right. Paul to work with.
Right.
If not, it doesn't make any sense. And again,
not a winning move.
Yeah, exactly. And like
he played 82 games this year, by the way.
Yeah, it's because they weren't in a playoff mode, so he wasn't going to get hurt right before the playoffs or right
incredible.
In the playoffs.
Dude, he's 40 years old. He played 82 games. That's amazing.
No, it is amazing. It is amazing.
Look to Chris Paul.
Yeah. Hey, look, I think what we're saying here about Tyus Jones is that can't be your big move. Like, that can't be your end-all be-all if you're going to do that. And I know somebody asked in the chat, like, oh, let me see, where was it? Not to pick on Aaron Mick today. We just keep, going back and forth.
We appreciate your participation in the show, Aaron Mick.
Yeah, we do. But how the hell does James know what a player is after no camp and barely any playing time? And what you're talking about is Devin Carter, because that's what, when we were discussing that.
Sure.
And, like...
Valid question, to be fair.
Yeah, it is a valid question. I would just say this. If you were to, look at assist percentage, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I get it. Devin Carter didn't have a training camp. He didn't have a natural, rookie offseason mm-hmm. coming into the league, right? But if we're going to look at, things like assist percentage, where would you think Devin Carter was assist percentage on this team this last year? Of all the players that played?
Ninth.
He was 14th. And his assist percentage, Devin Carter's assist percentage was 13.5, slightly above Scalabissier, below Terrence Davis, Alex Len, Jonas Valanciunas, Zach LaVine, Jordan McLaughlin, DeRozan.
My goodness.
And that's the next players to get you to number eight.
And this was not a team where, and I'm guessing he didn't get asked to be the point guard,
mm-hmm.
but I think if the Kings believed he was going to be a point guard, he would have played that spot a lot more often.
Yeah.
And been given those responsibilities more often for a team that desperately needed somebody with that skill set.
Well, even if we only watched 11 minutes a game and we only watched him over 38 games or 36 games, whatever it was, mm-hmm. you still saw that he does not look for his teammates to pass to.
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking about scrapping who a player is, who's already 22,
mm-hmm.
and you're going to ask him to be something totally different. Like, an easier line to follow would be, again, Keon Ellis was one of the lowest assist percentages on the team at 18, mm-hmm. at 8%. At least there were times where Keon looked to pass. He just didn't dribble the ball that much, and again, it's about usage rate and stuff like that. But we're not trying to reinvent a player, especially a 22-year-old, college junior that's coming in, missing a bunch of time and try to make him into a point guard.
Yeah.
That doesn't make to me a lot of sense to try to jam a square peg into a round hole and say, okay,
look. It's not bashing Devin Carter as a player.
No.
It's going, hey, he's probably not your long-term answer at point guard.
No, he's a combo guard.
Yeah. Which is fine.
Yeah.
It's just not, he's not a quote unquote one in the positional sense, which again is not the end of the world. It just means they need to go find somebody to be that.
Of course.
One player who's not going to be that, but could be back with the Kings this offseason, is Jake LaRavia,
mm-hmm.
who is hitting free agency. He talked with Michael Scotto, and it turns out that Doug Christie's return may actually facilitate Jake LaRavia's return.
Yeah.
I thought it was really interesting.
I thought it was, too. I pulled a quote from Michael Scotto's interview, and mm-hmm. he says, I loved him being the interim coach. I even told him in the interview that if you're not hired, odds are I'm probably not going to re-sign with Sacramento, but if you are, there would be more of a chance for me to go back to Sac.
That's wild.
Yeah.
And I think it speaks to, we've talked about Doug, what Doug Christie is good at as a coach. And I think that speaks to the thing he's best at, and that's connecting with players. And I think it's a huge reason he was brought in as the interim coach. And I think it's a huge reason that he was hired as the full-time head coach,
mm-hmm.
is because of that ability to connect with players in a way that Jake LaRavia was here for 2 months.
Yeah.
A couple months, and had such a connection with Doug Christie. And this is Jake LaRavia we're talking about, who also got hurt and didn't play the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
He had such a connection with that head coach that he was going to let that impact his free agency.
Yeah, he only played 19 games for the Kings, and I think what we saw from Doug was him allowing Jake LaRavia to let loose and be a different style of player. You know, we had the moments where he was defending Jokic or moments where he was defending point guards. Like, I think the Kings showed a lot more faith in Jake LaRavia than Memphis ever did. And I also think he was embraced by the crowd. Also, shout out to Jake, who got engaged, it looks like, over the last, since the offseason started. So,
congrats.
His Canadian girlfriend, which I always tease him about.
Why?
Because
you're anti-Canadian?
Because he always, no, because he always said, oh yeah, I've got a girlfriend, but she lives in Canada. And it's like, oh, it's like you have that, you have a girlfriend, but she lives at a different school. Yeah. So I would, that's I would funny. Joke with him. She, it, I did meet her, I think twice, and she's absolutely
you
lovely.
Went to Canada?
So, no, she was here a bunch.
Oh, wow.
Like,
nice.
Yeah, towards the end of the season. So absolute. Shout out to Jake LaRavia and his new fiance.
And this is where, he talked about what he's looking for in free agency. And again, this is Jake LaRavia's interview with Michael Scotto on Hoops Hype. Encourage everybody to go check it out. But he said the biggest thing, this is what he's looking for in free agency. Quote, the biggest thing, like scratch the money part. I want what everyone else wants, which is being on a team that's really competing for a championship or a young up and coming team that's ready to win. I love to compete. So that to me, and maybe this is just where he's at as a player. Maybe this is where he's at after being in the building. Maybe this is where he's at after talking to Scott Perry and Doug Christie. I don't know. But that wanting to compete for a championship or young up-and-coming team, to me, the Kings are neither of those at the moment. And so, again, I might be overshooting this because Jake LaRavia is not a high-level free agent. But when he says that to me, that's like, oh, yikes. Maybe he doesn't want to be in Sacramento. Or, like I said, he's heard from something from Scott Perry and Doug Christie that allows that, that makes him think, oh, you know what? Hey, this is going to be a young up and coming team. Or, oh, they do have moves in the hopper that they're going to try and be competitive or more competitive this year.
Yeah, I think so too. Like,
or maybe he's just talking in platitudes.
Yeah, I mean, Jake LaRavia, just so people know, the most the Kings can offer him is like $5.1, $5.2 million. No other team in the league is limited to that. They all can offer him more than the Kings. And if you're the Kings, you're just hoping that the offers don't roll in where it's like a three-year $18 million deal or a three-year $21 million deal for Jake LaRavia.
Because what can the Kings offer?
They can offer $5.1 million, and that's it.
Per year?
Per year to start, but they can also do a one-year deal, and then after that one-year deal, he'd have full Larry Bird rights. So they Got could it. Sign to whatever amount. It's just that first year. Because Memphis opted out of his fourth-year rookie scale. So it's a little bit complicated. But, like, look, I think he's probably between a $3 and $5 million player right now. He's got a long he's got injury history. But I also think, hey, look, you found a player that is exactly what you need, the type of player, the archetype of player. And I think it's interesting, Jake LaRavia talked about player archetypes a whole bunch in his interview, but that's something that I always look at too. You bring in a player and he might not be the end all be all, but he could show you what that player looks like next to Domas, next to what used to be a De'Aaron Fox lineup, what he looks like as a, you know, switchable forward next to Keegan Murray. And that's like, can you get a better version? Can you get a different version? You know, but I think if Jake LaRavia wants to come back, what we saw, I saw enough of him that I was like, okay, I would love to have that guy as my third or fourth forward moving forward.
He's also the second youngest player on the team behind Devin Carter.
Yeah. Yeah.
This goes back to what I was saying earlier. You talk about his stats last year. 6.9 points, which, you know, is nice. 3.9 boards, 2.4 assists. He shot 42.3% from three. And he played, where are my minutes? 20 minutes a night.
Yeah.
Combined between the Grizzlies and the Kings. That's not anything that's blowing the doors off of anyone.
Mm-mm.
But this is the right type of player. And ideally, when you're competing for a championship, maybe Jake LaRavia is your eighth or ninth guy. But this is the type of player who's going to come in, he's going to know what his role is, and he's going to do everything to make sure he's perfecting that role and helping the team win.
Yeah, this is the type of player that, first of all, Memphis like goes out and searches for.
Yep.
Which it's a certain, you know, skill or whatever it is that something, certain something that a player has.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also like it's something that the Oklahoma City Thunder look for.
Yep.
Like, this is the type of player, and I don't know if he would get rotational minutes on the Thunder, because they have a bunch of players like this, but he's, you know, 6'8", he's a long wingspan guy, he plays defense aggressively, he hustles, he gets on the floor, and, you know, again, this year he really hit the three ball, which is something he talked about working on this summer. Mm-hmm. He shot 44% from three with Memphis, 42.3 overall, and 38.5 with the Kings.
Not bad.
Like, this is a player that, again, I don't think the Kings need him as a starter. If you're coming back in the next season, Jake LaRavia is your starting small forward, that's not a great thing.
Sure.
But that's because he has a long history of injury, and he also doesn't have a long history of success.
Yeah, you need production, or more production than he's given out of a starter.
Yeah.
But like I said, to me, it's less about, oh, he's gonna start. Like, no, he's just a good player. Just a quality, impactful player who does the little things on the margin. The Kings don't have enough of those dudes.
Yep. He's a top 8 or 9 rotation player.
Yes. Ideally.
Yep.
And that's why I'm, for 5.1, if he'll take that deal.
Yeah.
And maybe there's some team out there that's going to give him 8 a year. I don't think so.
And I also think it's very possible he makes less than that. I think it's possible he plays on a league minimum or close to it next season.
Dang.
And then you go from there. It's just the Kings don't have like things like the right to match or anything like that. So yeah. It's complicated keeping him, but I also like everything he said in this interview with Michael Scotto, I think is pretty spot on. You know, like he did leave the door open to come back. I'd say the one concern I have is someone who spoke to him multiple times after he arrived in Sacramento was that, you know, don't forget about taxes. Don't forget about, you know, how expensive it is to live in California. There are other spots in the NBA that if you're only going to make $3 million, that would be, your money would go a lot further.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully he's back. I'm a big Jake LaRavia guy.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. All right. I'm not going to get anything else. We have 20 seconds. Anthony Slater covering the Oklahoma City Thunder for The Athletic. He is going to join us next. Coverage of Game 1 of the NBA Finals begins tonight at 4:30 right here on ESPN 1320. Make sure to check that out. Really hoping it's going to be a fun series. We're going to get the Oklahoma City point of view from Anthony Slater coming up next on The Insiders. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube. It's ESPN 1320, and that is Sacramento Sports Leader.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento Sports Leader.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try assemble and bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary, but the good news is if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you may qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Game one of the NBA Finals is tonight. Coverage begins at 4:30 right here on ESPN 1320. The Pacers and the Thunder. We're going to put a pin in the Kings talk briefly to chat with our guy, Anthony Slater. He's going to join us shortly. He is in Oklahoma City covering the Thunder for The Athletic for the NBA Finals.
He covered the Thunder for a long time before.
Yes.
That's where he originally, I believe it's where he originally started. Yeah.
I think that's right.
As a journalist. So.
We'll do that. We'll throw a couple of Kings questions at him maybe.
Yeah.
Sprinkle that in at the end, and he's going to join us now. It's Anthony Slater covering the Oklahoma City for the Athletic with the NBA Finals Game 1 tonight, Thunder and Pacers. Anthony, how you doing, man?
I am good. How are y'all doing?
Doing great. Oklahoma City treating you well? Are you safe?
Good enough. I mean, it was like a four-hour delay getting in because of tornadoes, like knocked power out of the Oklahoma City airport. I'm sure you guys saw the Pacers had to get diverted to Tulsa.
It's brutal.
So it's this time of year, man. You know, obviously I used to live here for 7 years. It's just once every 2 days is some like severe storm. But generally I'm fine. My family made the trip out here. So,
oh, awesome.
I, more than the rest of the NBA media world, actually don't mind. That the finals is in Oklahoma City.
You're used to it. So, yeah. Like, it's different. It's different when you don't freak out about, you know, like, sirens and weird stuff happening, right?
And just indirect flights and lack of late-night food spots and, you know, everything else that, you know, us bougie NBA media people, like, you know,
just don't slumming it.
You know, first world right, problems.
Yeah, last year it was Dallas, Boston, and you can already hear people grumbling about, not even just OKC, by the way, it's OKC Indy. When New York was close, right? New York was very close.
I feel like it's the only sport where people are so concerned about the market size of the teams in the finals.
Mm-hmm. So LeBron going to Cleveland, man, I had to do like three or four straight, you know, Cleveland finals when he was in Miami. The people that were covering those finals at the time, how about some Miami finals? I'm sure this is what everybody wants to hear, right? Us just talking about which cities we want to work in.
It's so awful that you have to travel for work to that city and cover basketball. Oof.
Yeah.
Now, you recently wrote about Cason Wallace embracing his role, and that's something we've talked a lot about with the Kings and, you know, trying to find players who are going to do the little things, do the things on the margins. How have the Thunder gone about establishing that culture where it was Cason Wallace, like the 10th overall pick? Wants to come in and be like, okay, I'm going to be a just 3-and-D guy and that's it.
Yeah. I mean, it starts at the top with Sam Presti, not only, you know, laying this foundation of like there's like a lack of individual, I guess promotion, just from the franchise. Walk around the Thunder Arena. It's every picture is like a team huddle where their hands are in, or a picture of the city of Oklahoma on the side of the arena. It'll say like, team, family, committed. Like, it's just he, you know, and he's very strategic in that way. Some would say controlling, and but he also, and I think this is post Durant Westbrook era, which, you know, I remember I remember Kevin at the time wondering about, they don't do bobbleheads, they don't do like individual celebration type nights, and that was the thing at the time. But I think the way Sam has rebuilt this version of the Thunder is going and finding guys. Like he not only scouts the player, he scouts the person probably more than any, you know, front office executive I've been around. And with Wallace, what you're mentioning, and I talked to Alex Caruso about that, but he's a Dallas kid. He went to this like really famous Dallas high school where they play defense. They're very committed to team basketball. You know, Sam knows his parents well. They live in Dallas. And I think part of the drafting of Cason Wallace was the belief that he could come in and would be willing to accept that type of role, despite the fact that he averaged, you know, 19 points per game and was the Texas High School Basketball Player of the Year. He was the point guard at Kentucky, but, you know, he comes in and willingly does it. And I think that's a personality trait of his.
When you're looking at the personality traits, it feels like they go around and they find all of these players that have that same shared thing. But I think it's predicated around the big three that they've developed. How impressed are you with the way that, I mean, we all expected Shea to be great in the playoffs, but that Jalen Williams has become like that really second option, and that Chet Holmgren has become that second slash third option, and really given them like three players that they can rely on every single night for scoring?
Yeah, that was the question last year. I covered their second round series. They were the one seed. I think people think like this year was this explosion, and obviously it was from a record standpoint, right? Mm-hmm. 68 wins, but they were the one seed in the West in last year's playoffs and lost to Dallas in a 1-4 matchup. It was a good series, six games. Shea had a really bad foul at the end. You guys might remember on PJ Washington that lost in the series. But the problem in that series was Chet Holmgren and Jalen Williams weren't ready to be number two, number three scorers. And they're just a year older. And Jalen Williams spent his offseason and this season trying to expand his game for this specific reason. You know, they're winning 68 games. So you can just, you can say, hey, tonight go out and take some shots that, you know, might not be the most efficient, but work on some of the stuff that's going to matter late in the year because you're 12 games up in the West, right? So he spent a lot of his season doing that, and he did make that leap, right? He was an all-star for the first time this year. He was all NBA, and you've seen it in these playoffs. That's not to say he's, you know, a perfect number two scorer or some like ascending, you know, guaranteed number two type guy. Honestly, you could say in this series, Siakam might be more established in that realm, but he's better than he was last year. And with him being better than he was last year, with Chet Holmgren, I think finding his role a little bit better. He's healthy. He's hitting the three, you know, with a little bit more consistency. And then, let's be honest, why did they lose the Dallas series last year? Josh Giddey was a massive minus. Well, they flipped Josh Giddey for Alex Caruso. I mean, that's one of the trades of the summer. Yeah. And in a playoff environment, that's, you know, instead of a weak link, you have some, like, defensive ace off the bench. They find Hartenstein because they had cap space and they were very specific about that fit, and that was to solve their rebounding, you know, I guess interior issues that they had last year. And they win not just because they have these guys that have become two or three scorers, but they're extremely deep. And to be honest, they win on the defensive end. I don't think there's some unbelievable offense. They just kill you in transition, turnovers, and they just like spook your offense.
Talk with Anthony Slater. He's in Oklahoma City covering the finals for The Athletic. The Athletic or The New York Times? Or both?
Both. Whatever you want to say. Yeah, they've like changed the like link. So actually like the link's at nytimes.com. I was told today I wrote a story about Presti and Steve Kerr, a trade from 2007. And it was in the New York Times print today. So both, I guess you could say.
Wow, look at this. New York Times author, Anthony Slater, joining us now. We've seen Oklahoma City make quick work of Memphis. They go to 7 with Denver, and then they went and made quick work of the Minnesota Timberwolves. Do you expect this Indiana series to be more like the Timberwolves and Memphis series, or do you think it's going to be more like that Denver series?
I'd pick it in 5. I feel a little bit like, you know, I covered Minnesota Warriors in the second round, and I thought Minnesota was a little inflated. Like the reputation coming out of that series was a little inflated because it was like they beat basically a non-playoff team. Like the Warriors without Steph Curry are not a playoff team. And I feel a little bit like maybe it's a little disrespectful to the Pacers, but it's like I feel like they just played the East. Like they were in the East. It's just a, you know, worse conference, worse opponents. They do some tricky stuff. It's going to be fast-paced. I think it's going to be fun brand of basketball, but I just think they are a B-minus version of the Thunder. They're deep like them. They play fast. They got some stuff, but I just don't think the talent's there. I think I went to a March game between these two teams. Holmgren was out. Hartenstein went out in the first half. The Thunder didn't even have a big, and they beat him by 30. You know, Halliburton couldn't create separation. He was going against Dort, Wallace, you know, Caruso. Mm-hmm. Like, he has not faced that type of waves of defenders with, you know, rim protection behind them and no weak link for them to attack, right? Carlisle's a sharp coach, but part of the problem when you attack the Thunder is, like, even their star point guard is 6'6" and, like, one of the top steals guys in the league. Like, you don't pick on Shea. Right. So I just – I see mechanically and schematically trouble for the Pacers. I will say, like, if they get tonight, Denver extended that series against the Thunder because they can't remember them coming back from 13 down. Yeah. Gordon hits the three. The Thunder just gacked that one away. If the Pacers are able to come in tonight against a Thunder team on a long layoff, maybe rusty, and get tonight, we could be talking about a long series. But if they just wipe them out the first two, I think we're talking four or five.
Yeah, it does seem like that series. What is it that Indiana brings outside of, you know, outside of Ty? I mean, because that's going to be the biggest thing. Yeah. I don't think this is just going to be a laydown series. I think it'll go closer to six, but that's just me. But how do you think, what is the pathway, if there is a narrow pathway for Indiana to beat that team?
Yeah, I mean, their role guys are going to have to hit threes, right? That's like every series now in the NBA. It's like you do, you know, you get a hot series or a cold series from Lu Dort. You get a hot series or a cold series from Nesmith and Nembhard. Like, that's obviously huge. I think Siakam had, you know, he was the East Finals MVP, right? I know that was kind of like a controversial vote, but I think he had like a 43-point game. Now, he attacked mismatch. Like, that Knicks series was about Brunson and Cat and, you know, kind of like Carlisle scheming up to put them in action. And I think Siakam really benefited from that. Whereas in this series, like, he's going to have good defenders on him pretty much the entire time because the entire Thunder team are good defenders. But if he could just, like, I saw him in 2019. He's a proven playoff scorer. You know, in that finals with Toronto, he had some huge games. So, you know, him having a huge, like, they got to get one of these two first ones, I think. Yeah. And that, you know, lay out whatever formula you want for that. I am curious because there's a lot of talk right now locally with like the whole NBA media scene here about the Pacers' pace. Mm-hmm. People, you know, 7 seconds are left, 4 seconds are left. A lot of that is Siakam in transition and the way Haliburton hits ahead. But the Thunder's equally, I think the Thunder has a higher pace in the playoffs. Like, they speed you up. They want to play that style. So, you know, maybe it's strength on strength, and that lessens some of what the Thunder does to other teams. I'm curious to see that. But, yeah, you can tell which way I'm leaning in this series for sure.
Anthony Slater in Oklahoma City covering the Thunder for the finals. Game one tonight against the between the Thunder and Pacers. Coverage begins at 4:30 right here on ESPN 1320.
Can I ask you guys something?
Yeah,
because there's a lot of talk. Yeah, there's a lot of talk here for, you know, like the NBA actually is here, right? You know, it's the finals. So, right, like, there's a lot of NBA people, and they are putting on a brave front of like enjoying the freshness of this series, the new stars. I do think the style of basketball is going to be interesting. Fast paced, deep, sharing the basketball. You guys, you know, are not in market. This is not like teams that you guys follow on a normal basis. Like, are you excited for this series? Like, because I think the ratings probably are not going to be that good because of markets and everything we talked about. But like, are you pumped to turn on Pacers Thunder, you know, game one tonight?
I am. I think it's two fun and young, exciting teams. Like, I think the Thunder's defense is stifling, which might make this a little bit boring. But I also think that Indiana's going to have one of those games where they just don't miss, and they'll make the Thunder look mortal for a night, just the same way that Minnesota did one night. And so I think this is going to be fun. I mean, great personalities. I like that we're seeing the changeover right now from the old guard to the new guard, with the young players stepping up, guys like Haliburton, guys like Shea getting all the spotlight, even Brunson or Ant-Man. You know, I think that the league needed this, and I like that this is we're going to have the seventh different NBA championship in 7 years. It got a little old. I mean, covering Warriors Cavs for what, 4 or 5 straight years. It was just like, okay, this is boring. What are we doing again? It's the same group. So I'm here for it.
I'm really excited because it doesn't feel like it's just Tatum versus another star or whatever it would have been. It's obviously Shea and Tyrese Haliburton are the two stars in this series, but we've talked so much about the role players. Like, my first question was about freaking Case and Wallace. So that's what's exciting for me is A, the different styles, but B, the fact that there's more to talk about than just like, what does this mean for X player's legacy? Like, I'm so tired of that. So yeah, for me, and it sounds like for people in the chat, it's exciting and refreshing for sure.
Yeah, I think the league needs it, right? I mean, there's all this talk about, well, LeBron and Steph fading out and the need for people to take the mantle, stars and teams to step into the spotlight. Well, you need the spotlight to generate, you know, more spotlight, essentially.
Yeah.
And this is a chance. You know, if Shea has a huge finals, you're talking about one of the better seasons in recent NBA history by a player, right?
Yes.
MVP.
Yes.
Followed by, you know, potentially finals MVP for a 68-win team where he, you know, like all the statistic, you know, outlier. So I'm not sure it'll be viewed that way. I'm not sure if they dominate the Pacers in the finals, people are going to be talking about some historic team and historic season from Shea. But it's at least the start of a conversation of, hey, is this mini dynasty on the way? Is this, you know, Shea becoming an all-time great type thing? So could be good for the league.
I want to talk about finals MVP here for a second, because I assume if Oklahoma City wins, it would be Shea Gilgeous-Alexander as finals MVP. But if an Andre Iguodala thing happened, like in 2015,
who, Caruso is everywhere in this series.
You think that's who would be the MVP if it's not Shea in a Thunder win?
No, probably not Jalen Williams, because just we're talking stats, right? I think we're in a statistical world where even if Caruso has a good series, it's going to be like four steals, like 8 points, right. You know, three rebounds, and wow, he really took the Siakam matchup. Like, you know, he was a big story when he guarded Jokic in Game 7. But if they had voted MVP of that Denver series, he wouldn't have been in the top six.
Yeah.
So I mean, what Shea is so good at is like he just scores 30 every game.
It's insane.
Always scores 30. So I almost see no world where he is not the MVP, because I just think he's going to average, you know, his usual 30. I mean, unless Jalen Williams just explodes, but that's the only other way I would see it.
Slater, we don't get to keep you all day, but I wanted to ask you about what's happening here in Sacramento. You, of course, live here locally, and then fly all over and go to other places. Not always Kings games. Doug Christie, Scott Perry, the, you know, BJ Armstrong edition, the coaching staff additions. What are just your general thoughts on what's happened so far here as the Kings look to like rebuild their front office and their coaching staff?
We'll see. A lot of work to do, right? And the work is coming, you know, in late June and early July. I mean, the no first round pick off that season is obviously tough for them. They are more transparently than you typically see teams, and you guys know this, are talking about the lack of point guard play, right? I was surprised that Sabonis just went straight up in his press conference postgame, and Doug Christie, I believe, like basically right after the final buzzer when they lose to the Mavericks, is like, well, the lack of a point guard was a really big problem. And I mean, you know, obviously Monty McNair's gone within about 10 minutes of that comment. So they've got to solve that, right? You got to imagine that's like agenda item number one. And I know this is the type of stuff you guys kind of analyze on a daily basis. It would seem that the DeRozan contract number would be the path to, you know, maybe finding, you know, the type of mid-level type point guard that could help. You know, if it's, I'm not saying it's Dennis Schroeder, but like, you know, maybe that level of guy that could stabilize them, table set better. But it's also a tough fit because it's like, hey, come in and be the point guard, but you're playing next to LaVine and he's a ball. Your center Sabonis is, you know, needs his dribble handoff actions and all of his touches. And like, I guess to your point, like, I can see Scott Perry and his group having a good tenure here, but it's like, you know, there's a lot of renovation to be done. And you could give Sam Presti this job or name, you know, whatever the hottest GM on the market that you could name. I don't think he's just building a contender within the next 12 to 24 months. Like, I think this is, it's a rebuild project within an organization that we all know, like, doesn't necessarily have the patience to rebuild. So,
yep.
It's the perpetual problem, isn't it?
It is.
It's a vicious cycle. Anthony, you've been super generous with your time. We really appreciate it. Enjoy the game tonight. Hopefully we get a long series and an enjoyable series. You're covering the Oklahoma City Thunder for The Athletic and the New York Times. It's Anthony Slater, everybody. Thanks, man.
There we go. I appreciate the outro. Even got the New York Times. Appreciate it, fellas. I will see y'all later.
Thanks. Anthony Slater, one of the best.
Good dude.
The Warriors,
man.
The Kings.
Yeah.
The Athletic said, hey, the Thunder in the finals. You know them. Go do that. I was talking to him at the Kings Mavericks play-in game, not to brag. And I was like, so what happened? He was like, if the Kings do this, and this, then I'm going to this place. If the Warriors do this, then I got to go to that place. If they're both out and it's Oklahoma City, I got to go to that place. But if it's not, then I'm going to go. It's like, oh my God.
I once had plane tickets the night before, and as soon as the Warriors lost, everyone had to get on the phone and cancel their plane tickets immediately so we could get reimbursed. Like, not going back to Toronto. Bummer.
Oh man. That is
for a third
what
time.
A life. Can you imagine having that much riding on a game? All right, Kings game tonight. If they win, I've got that. You have to have a flow chart.
Oh, yeah.
For where you're going to be over the next couple of months.
Well, then you have to have a credit card that's extended like with three or four different hotels and three or four different. Yeah, it's wild.
That's crazy. Shout out to Anthony for making time for us today. We appreciate him and all of his great coverage of the Warriors and Kings for The Athletic and The New York Times. All right, we got the handoff coming up next. One of D-Lo or KC is going to jump in with us. We might have a little bit of 49er stuff to sprinkle in. If not, we will do that tomorrow. We're keeping the 49ers in the loop, of course, here on ESPN 1320. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. Joe Brazil behind the glass. One of D-Lo or KC joins us for the handoff next. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube. It's ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento's sports leader.
So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop, assemble, and bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or personal loans, help is here. More and more Americans turn to credit cards to get by. National Debt Relief is helping qualified clients reduce what they owe. For many, continuing to struggle making minimum monthly payments could take years to pay off. National Debt Relief has already helped over 550,000 Americans reduce their debt by negotiating directly with their creditors. When you call, you'll be amazed at how much you can save and how quickly you can become debt-free. If you want off the debt treadmill, visit NationalDebtRelief.com today. You don't need to declare bankruptcy, and you may qualify for significant debt relief. To find out what savings you may qualify for, simply visit NationalDebtRelief.com. That's NationalDebtRelief.com.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
I had to take a painkiller.
Oh, and no, that's way
it's
worse.
It's not like... God, it was awful. I was positive something on the ceiling was moving. I was like, what is that? What? That right there, it's moving. Oh, sweetie. Just
yeah, I had stop. A bad painkiller.
Yeah,
I passed
bad.
Out. Like, I had back problems, and Sarah was, like, working on my back,
mm-hmm.
and I just slid right, like, whoa. Flat out on the floor. She freaked her out.
Done here.
Yeah, sorry about
done.
That.
Oh, man.
Damian Barling, the best dressed man in television, joining us.
Hopefully radio, too.
Well, that, too.
Yeah.
ABC 10 tonight after
yeah.
the finals.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
yeah.
very fun. Love
yeah,
that for
me,
you.
Yeah, me, KC, Matt George, Kevin John. It's going to be great.
Can't wait. James got Thunder in 6. I've got Thunder in 4.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm just going
to... I got you.
Oh my God! It went 5 or 6. What? Mm-hmm. Am I gonna get fired if I'm wrong?
No. It's why okay. I don't do predictions. Like, I think it's silly.
So I shouldn't conclude this with what's your finals prediction?
No,
because that's the road I was going.
Finals, and I figured, but my finals prediction is I think there's a lot of people like you. I think most people are like, you know, a combination of you two. OKC, very true. There is no one like you. But I think a lot of people are leaning towards OKC. I think a lot of people see OKC in four or five. I think this series is going to be a lot closer than people think it's going to be. I think Indiana is very, very good. I think they have the depth to match the depth that Oklahoma City has. I think I use this analogy. I love the idea of the irresistible force and the immovable object. Like, I love that offense versus this defense. I love which one gets the better of which. I love, can OKC's defense slow down Indiana's offense enough? I love the idea of Indiana's offense running down Oklahoma City's defense a little bit. And I don't know if that means a four-game series or a five-game series or a seven-game series and Indiana wins or Oklahoma City wins. I don't know if it just means a fist fight for four games or a fist fight for five games. But I think we have an extremely compelling NBA Finals. I think OKC is great. They've had one of the greatest seasons we've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think the Western Conference Finals is a measurement necessarily of Oklahoma City as much as it was a measurement for Minnesota.
Sure.
In that you ain't that. Like, you ain't ready for this. Their depth is a lot. Indiana, I think, is not only one of the few teams in the playoffs, perhaps one of the few teams in the league that can match them player for player. So I'm hyped for this. I'm really looking forward to it. Like, I have no idea who's going to win. I think both have had great seasons. Really Indiana more than Oklahoma City. I don't think they've gotten enough credit for really how good their season was.
Yeah.
It started out slow with Ty having the hamstring issues and things not really coming together very quickly. And then the calendar turned and it did.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everything went right for them once the calendar hit 2025. And they have been absolutely phenomenal ever since.
And I think that's the thing that's sticking in my brain, because I was super wrong on Indiana. Like, they earned their trip to the conference finals last year. If you make it that far, you did it. Like, shout out to you. You were one of two teams left in your conference. But I didn't think, okay, they're going to go back. Like, I thought, yeah, no, they'll be a playoff team. Like, they're pretty good, but I don't think they're going to compete with the Knicks or Boston or Cleveland. And obviously I've been proven wrong time and time and time and time and time and time again. Mm-hmm. But what I can't shake is how many wild ass comebacks where you watched that Pacers game and you went, man, they had no business winning that game. Mm-hmm. Like, four or five just in this playoffs.
Yeah. I mean, I think that Pacers offense can do that.
And that's where I don't think they'll be able to do that against Oklahoma City.
Well, see, in the tough part, and
if you're down 10 with 50 seconds left against OKC,
you're not. Yeah,
no.
And I think the thing is, that's probably a focal point of Oklahoma City. From the other side, knowing that Indiana can score in bunches like that, Indiana has to have the same fear. The difference is OKC doesn't need to be down by 10. For that to kick in.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, OKC gets down by 10, or excuse me, Indiana gets down by 10 and like some switch flips.
Mm-hmm.
OKC can be up 3, and then all of a sudden it's 27 before the commercial break hits.
Yeah.
And like, that's where, you know, both teams are capable of scoring in bunches. Both coaches have to, you talk about like, this is probably an undercovered part of this finals is the coaching matchup. You know, Rick Carlisle, obviously a championship coach. Mark Dagnall, tracking towards a championship coach. He's been phenomenal in his time with Oklahoma City. I've never thought managing timeouts would be a key to a game, but man, hey, bruh, these two coaches better be aware that those back-to-back baskets can suddenly turn into a 14-point run. And like, hey, we have to. There's not going to be any Phil Jackson. Oh, let's let them play out. That's not happening in this series. You let them play it out. The game, you lost the game.
Yeah.
Game is over.
Yeah, to me, it's Oklahoma, the way that they all of a sudden crank up their defense and change your defense, but crank up the intensity out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And then it's four turnovers in a row that lead to wide open buckets.
Yep.
And you're like, what in the world just happened? They just have that ability. Where I think just slowing down Indiana is going to be nearly impossible.
Yeah.
Like, even for a great defense, I think it's going to be a good series. I just don't think Indiana's got got the ability to beat them in,
yeah,
in seven.
And like, I just don't, I think this series is so good, I don't have the bandwidth to argue with someone who says Oklahoma City wins. I don't have like a strong enough argument to say,
yeah,
to counter someone who says Oklahoma City wins in four. Like, you might be right. I just think this is going to be a really good series. If it is a four game mm-hmm. series, I think we're talking, you know, margins of victory of, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7, mm-hmm. 8, you know, through those four games. I don't think Indiana's losing four straight.
Sure.
I don't.
Yeah. Sure. I love the idea that everybody's talking about matchups and can Pascal Siakam expose this person and can Alex Caruso lock and all these different things. And Damian's like, it's going to come down to timeouts.
I love that. Dude, bro, I'm serious. Hey, don't
your explanation was spot on.
give me timeouts and TJ McConnell minutes. Give me those. Give me those two things because I love TJ McConnell. He beats the crap out of he makes De'Aaron look slow. Like,
it makes no sense.
It's insane. Like, what he does is crazy.
Yeah.
This is a tough matchup for him, though. This is like a tough bench for him to go against. Mm-hmm. It's a tough starting unit for him to go against. And I think he's really important to what Indiana does. I want to say, I think these things are different. He's really valuable to what Indiana does.
For sure.
And I think this could wind up being a tough series for him. But if they can get, if you can go bust their ass like he does, like every other point guard in the damn league. Like, that's a good sign for Indiana.
That'd be wild.
It's going to be fun.
TJ McConnell's the guy that figures out the OKC defense.
Finals MVP.
Oh, my God. I would love that. I'm hoping I
not since Andre Iguodala. Oh, sorry. What? Sorry, that was a callback to yesterday's.
That was crazy. I apologize. That was such funny timing. Walked in right as you're like, and we're out.
Yeah. No, the best part was come on!
I'm yelling at people. D'Lo and Casey started talking about how Andre Iguodala sucks at basketball yesterday. That's not what they were saying. But I took what they were saying as disrespect. And so I'm literally yelling at people in the hallway. I'm like, can you believe this? And I come storming in the door and I'm ready to rant and rave. And they're laughing because they went to break like as soon as I opened the door.
Second. And I knew you were out of earshot and didn't know to break, and that's what made it even
so
better.
Good. So good. Anyways, TJ McConnell, Finals MVP is Damian's prediction.
There you go.
Got it.
There you go.
D'Lo and KC coming up next. What do you guys got today?
A lot of this. Matt George will be with us in the final hour of the show. We've been tiptoeing around a conversation. You know, obviously, there's a lot of finals coverage, but we've been tiptoeing around a Malik Monk conversation all week that we just haven't had yet that I think we're going to have today. So it should be fun.
Feels like every Kings conversation right now is a tough one.
Yeah, this
like
one, this one's
been tiptoeing around it.
Well, we just haven't gotten to it. Mm. Like Kenny had the DeMontis Sabonis thing, and then it gave me a really restless night's sleep and made me angry. So we actually continued it the next day,
sure.
And it just led to like other discussions, and we didn't get to one that I actually think is really important.
Mm. All right, very good. Tap in, D'Lo and KC coming up next for James Hamm and Joe Brazil. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. Back with you tomorrow at 10 a.m. right here on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary, but the good news is if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you may qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Get it? With the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
A new year is a clean slate, and this year, learning a language is the resolution that actually sticks. With Rosetta Stone, it's never been easier to start fresh. Whether you're leveling up your career or prepping for a 2026 trip, our bite-sized lessons fit perfectly into your busy day. Learn while you grab coffee or during your lunch break. It's that simple. You'll see progress fast, helping you feel more confident and connected. And because Rosetta Stone uses an immersive, intuitive method, you'll learn naturally, without memorizing boring word lists. For over 30 years, we've been the trusted leader in language learning with 25 languages to choose from, including Spanish, French, German, Japanese, and more. Rosetta Stone is the go-to tool for real language growth. Don't wait. Unlock your language learning potential now. Listeners can grab Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. That's unlimited access to 25 language courses for life. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10 to get started and claim your 50% off today. Go to rosettastone.com/rs10 and start learning today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.